from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster puts the Astra. I was thinking about the Astro Poets podcast, and I was going to try to do something, puts the Astra in the row, but I row the bow up. What I really do is row the boat off to dreamland. Yeah, that's my job. And you might not know what I'm talking. What do we do? Row what? To where? When? It's a dreamy boat that carries you off into dreamland. We'll drift and we'll float. But it'll mostly be silly and nonsensical because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, these are the ways we keep the podcast free for everybody. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to the both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. All right. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the part of the podcast where I thank the people who supported the sponsors, which really helps keep the podcast free for everybody. And I wanted to thank John, who checked out Mint Mobile, set up their cell phone service using mintmobile.com/sleep, saved a ton of money. Great move. And then I wanted to give a shout out to Christina, sending some positive energy away, Christina and Jennifer. Christina spread the word to Jennifer about the podcast. Jennifer supports the show on Patreon. Let me know to send some positive energy Christina's way. So that's like totally like a circle there. And if you supported the show in any way, let me know about it. Let a sponsor know about it. But if you supported the show, you know, by spreading the word, some other means, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Use the link between now and October 31st so you can get your name in the time capsule. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thanks, everybody. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, runner, runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon.
buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I want to thank that's Mystery Bard. Mystery Bard. Mystery. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me, are you saying Mystery Bard? I'd say no, but that does sound like a made-up word. That does sound like a word I'd make up. Mystery. It's something like maybe I'll name a plant that. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Sorry about that. Went into early meander. That's where you find me. I also want to shout out every person that's been sharing their experience with the podcast on Instagram stories, Twitter, Facebook, blog posts, in-person, you know, subscriptions within a grocery store have shot up from zero known to people telling me, hey, so I was talking to somebody in the frozen food section and, you know, somehow naturally came up and now I listen to the show, puts me to sleep. So thanks everybody for sharing. You know, you don't have to do it in the frozen food section, but if sleep podcasts come up or podcasts, you know, go for it. If it's natural, be the most natural thing in the frozen food section anyway. But that's a little grocery store humor from my other podcast grocery store jokes, but I'm trying to think of something wittier. Also, I don't think it'll never be launched. So that's anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast. Oh, no, that's at the beginning of the show. What do you say I guess I'm in an extra goofy mood if you're a regular listener. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's things you're thinking about, feelings, like so any emotions that are coming up, physical sensations. If your schedule's changed or you're getting ready to go on a trip or you got something going on, whatever it is, I'd like to take your mind off of that and keep you company, help you fall asleep, really. And what I propose to do is I have this safe place here, or hopefully a place that ideally at some point to you will feel safe and welcoming. But I'm trying to craft out that coziness. Or you might say, Scoots, I prefer, you know, do you have a safe place that's a little less cozy? I'd say, of course I do. Come on over here. This is a rough-hewn area. Believe it or not, I prefer it myself. I just don't publicize it. You know, there were the doubters when I said, when they said, you know, when I did get that budget, to craft out the great safe place, I said, when they looked at the plans, they said, what is this area over here? I said, oh, it's a rough-hewn safe place, part of the safe place. And that was their answer, speechless. It was a gathering of scientists and architects and so many people. And I said, is there a problem with having a rough-hewn section of a safe place? And they said, no, not a problem, just interesting. And I said, oh boy, that's the most interesting is when it comes out of a scientist's mouth is the most loaded word I've ever heard. And they said, well, I'm not a scientist. And I said, oh, that's even more loaded, believe me. Yeah, especially when you have a yellow pad like that. But, you know, I've been to therapy. I know how this works. You say interesting and then your pen starts moving. Or when you cast your eyes down. Anyway, sorry about that. I didn't mean to go after. I was just speaking with this person that appreciates rough-hewn spaces. Welcome. I do have a rough-hewn space. Oh, I'm sorry. You said a rouge-hued space. I do have that as well. Thanks for clarifying that. A rouge-hued space is something I had never thought of, but I think it's a great idea. I had some place that was almost, I don't think I could call it rouge-hewn. Hewed, yeah, that's tough to say after saying rough-hewn. I got to get back to the intro, but there's a rouge-hewed place in the safe place. So I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. You've already seen it a few times here. Now, if you're new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. This podcast is definitely different than all podcasts. I think. And so, or how you kind of consume it is kind of up to you. But if it's your first few times here, kind of look at it a bit passively. I guess to dive into a metaphor we're already in, like imagine you were, instead of like open, like you said, well, what do you want to do this weekend? Go to some open, I know we're not buying anything, but you want to go to those historical open house, they got that historical open house thing. We could go check that out. What do you think? And you say, well, I heard about Scoots. It's somewhere in the hillside somewhere. Really, two somewheres in one sentence, huh? Oh, yeah. He Scoots is working on a safe place. They're calling it the Universal Safe Place Initiative, I think. And I was thinking we could just take a they're having an open house with potential sections of safe places. A lot of people are online are joking about the rough-hewn part. And I thought I could put my hands on my hips and kind of walk around and just kind of take in the various types of safe places people might like or Scoots is anticipating people might like. You know, because of course we'd like a lot of people would like someplace cozy and comfy, but I just wanted to see the other ones, and they said it's free to walk around and just kind of see how it goes. That's kind of how you'd consume the podcast too. You'd say, "Huh, interesting. Is this is this brick-hewed safe place?" And the person in there would say, well, this is a rouge-hewed safe place, but if you move a few steps to your right, it will be more of a brick-hewed safe place. And you say, really? Scoots, I don't know if you realize this, Scoots created the Roy G. Biv Institute or something like that. It was originally for holiday lighting, and he said he's been working on other uses because he sells a Roy G. Biv certified certification. So that's how they do it. Pantone, they're he's just waiting for clearance from them. He likes to pretend he's on a phone. He says, get Pantone on the phone. And we say, Scoots, it's not pronounced that way. So that's how you could consume the podcast, is if you're just strolling through a safe place, checking it out at first. And you'd say, I've never seen the physical embodiment of a variety of safe places. I'm just going to kind of take it in, and this is different and not what I expected. The show is a bit silly, though, at the same time. So that's one thing if you're new. Two, structurally what to expect. You're right, a little late for that, but show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody and not behind a paywall or paid service or something. Then there's the intro, which we're in the middle of here. And the intro is around 12 to 15 minutes of wind down time. Really, it's an introduction if you're new. So you say, oh, okay. I listen to two intros. I still don't get what the podcast is. I'd say, okay, you definitely listen to Sleep With Me then. But if you're a regular listener, a lot of people start the podcast as part of their wind down. So before they get ready for bed or as they're getting ready for bed, Maybe they're doing some foam rolling. Maybe they're doing some, you know, maybe instead of doing any rough hewing, you know, maybe they're doing some rouge hewing of their room. And they say, well, I'm going to get my room in a rouge. I don't know if that's sleep conducive, to be honest. I have no idea. I mean, maybe you're working, maybe you're de-rouging, right? You say, well, first I put on Sleep With Me. Then I start my skincare process, which we've talked about before. And for me, or for Noir Chardonnay, there's a lot of rouge. So Noir Chardonnay, it has to de-rouge. So that's just a character from the podcast. So if you're de-rouging or something like that, and that's part of your, not just like something you do, but you have like made it in a way of part of your evening routine, you say, well, when I know, when the rouge comes off, I know it's almost time for me to get relaxed. So I start listening to Sleep With Me. That's what the intro's for. Or you could be in bed. There are listeners that fall asleep during the intro, and there are listeners that just skip ahead to 20 minutes or so. So just kind of see how it goes. But the intro is kind of like a, it's not an integral part of the show because you could skip it, but it is kind of a part of the natural slow motion of the show. I'm just laughing because I don't even know how to describe it. It's not a, it doesn't have to be there, but it's kind of part of the, you know, like the movement of the sea or something. It's what you're right, safe place development brain. It is like one room in the safe place. It could be the entryway, or it could be your actual safe place, or it could be a passageway. Or it could be, you know, the kind of place you come in, the mud, you know, the mud room. It could be that. There you go. Here's, I know there's real estate people that listen. You see, we've got you a rough-hewn mud room. You'd say, I'm sorry, what? Oh, yeah, this is a rough-hewn mud room. That's what, it's the latest thing. So, it's so hardy, you know, perfect for demudding. Okay, so where was I? Okay, so that's the intro. Oh, the intro, that's the intro. Then there'll be a story, bedtime story, about 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so. Thank yous at the end. There's business between the intro and the story. Just because that's kind of how podcast structures work. That's it for that. No need to listen. This is a podcast you could partially listen to, totally listen to, or not listen to. And there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. But you kind of drift off as you wish, like whatever works for you. I'll be here to keep you company, but no pressure to pay attention. So there's that. What other stuff? I probably forgot some stuff, huh? The structure of the show, I don't know. I'm glad you're here. I mean, the reason I make the show is because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning. And I know how it feels, and I just want to help. And also, I truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep. I would like it if this podcast could help you or lead you to something else that helps, so that you get the rest you need and deserve, and you could be out there living your life and flourishing. So if you're new, see how it goes. If you listen two or three times, at some point it might start working. If it doesn't, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. Or if you're already having a strong reaction and you say, you definitely don't, Sleep With Me Podcast, no thank you. There's other sleep podcasts and chill podcasts over there. But that's it. I just want to help. I appreciate you coming by and checking the show out. I work very hard, I yearn and I strive, and I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple other ways we keep the show going. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action, kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much. All right, everybody, this is a special for the season, the costume season, the Halloween of the Ween season. This is a little seasonal episode I'm going to hand it over to a reporter the show has worked with in the past, Claude Neon. But Claude used a serial price guide for a lot of Claude's research, serialpriceguide.blogspot.com. So if you want to see a lot of these boxes that are on there, along with their value, and I'll include a couple other cool links to other boxes and stuff. All right, here you go, Claude. Yes, hello, everyone. This is Claude Neon. Thank you, Scooter. Good to be back. This is Claude Neon Reports, and you may remember me as the reporter who broke the story on Roberta Kloss. It was many years ago, and I had an exclusive back then. I thought it would be, really break my career. The news of Roberta Kloss, her adventures on taking over the holiday season, the deliveries of presents and the challenges she faced. Unfortunately, it didn't boost my career quite as much as you would think exclusives like that would boost your career. But it's been, since then, Claude Neon's been... I've been on my own personal journey and, doing some odds and ends and napping and those kind of things. But it's good to be back. You know, my inquiries of Tales Untold, much like Scooter's, has never ceased and will always be there. And this story is more, this is more sleepy, too, because I discussed things with Scooter and he said, Claude, I said, could I come back on the show? He said, do you have any reports? I said, I'm reporting on working, not right now. And Scooter said, well, when you do, come get a hold of me. And I said, well, what about, then I said, Scooter, I don't have it. And he said, what about some interviews? And I said, interesting. And I said, who do you have for me to interview? And Scooter said, have you ever heard how any of my interviews go? They're usually, he said, what about, and then he did me a favor. He did me a solid and he introduced me to who I'm here with this evening, who I'm here with for a sleepy discussion, a time to reminisce and learn more about the famous Count Chocula. I'll be here tonight talking to Count Chocula as we look back on the boxes and the toys that were in those boxes. And we take a trip down memory road because there's a lot we don't know about Count Chocula, including, does Count Chocula, does chocolate milk, does chocolate milk, so I'm here with Count Chocula, we might as well write in the studio. Thank you for being here and making time for us on Claude Neon Reports. Thank you, Claude. And you were an icon. I mean, I don't mean to shatter any delusions for you. And I know you've had a comeback recently. And just a few days ago, I was with Scooter because I didn't think this was going to be real. I'm really touched to be here with you. Can I call you Count or Count Chocula? Claudia, either one is fine. And so as with Scooter, and this, you know, maybe you're already sitting down, Count. Scooter and I were at a grocery store that he frequents that refuses to advertise on the podcast. We'll just say it's called TJ's. And there was a person there who said that their cereal, one of the employees said their cereal sales are so down, they're getting ready to get rid of a lot of their breakfast cereals. And I know that can't be easy for you to hear, Count Chocula. But much like me, you know, times change and people change. But we're here to look at the past and look at the future at the same time and learn about you while we talk about, you know, some of the boxes, the way you were. Particularly because we have listeners that may, here's this thing, Count, we live in an interesting time. You know, a lot of the youth in the past, in the streaming era particularly, haven't been exposed to as many television commercials as someone like Scooter or myself were. And so they don't get a regular dose of characters like you. And I don't know if that, you know, I don't know anything about the cereal business. Claude, I only know my end of the business. Right, and so what I was going to say was that so they don't consume as many commercials, and I don't know if that's why they consume less cereal or because it's kind of a treat. Like, in, now, I don't want to project everything through Scooter, but I know at his house, you know, breakfast cereal is a weekend only or a Saturday morning only kind of thing. Also, they don't have Saturday morning cartoons. So can you kind of explain to us like a little bit about the environment you flourished in, about breakfast cereals, you know, the what I would say was the glory days of television advertising to children and to children's breakfast cereals. Well, thank you, Claude. Thank you for having me on, everyone. I'm going to call myself Count Claudie by accident. I'm Count Chocula. And you may know me as the Count Chocula on a breakfast cereal. You may have seen my face, my visage. You may have seen me eating my own cereal and said, well, that's strange. I didn't, like, are you a, does that make you a double account that consumes his own? And I say, well, I'm a count that consumes chocolate, Count Chocula. And I also love chocolate, but this isn't really about me. It's about cereal and about the, you know, the past. So once upon a time, there was a world where you couldn't stream things on demand. TV was a linear. It was limited at times, and it was broken up into segments by commercials. And the commercials brought you the television stuff for free, and you watched the commercials, and the commercials needed to be entertaining, and they needed to market products. In my particular, I was a product marketed to children, a breakfast cereal, and, you know, I may have had more influence behind the scenes. You may call me just talent, even though, you know, I did have a lot of influence on what went into the cereal. I mean, not the final ingredients, the flavor and the toys, and some creative things, but mostly I was talent. Are you a real chocolate count? I know that's what another question that Scooter would ask, Claude. And that is true. Like, I was discovered, and I think Scooter's kind of talked about that, and that's a tale for another time. You know, this is my history. So there was a television. There was children's television, particularly on Saturday mornings. There was a block of cartoons and a children's, because you didn't have a myriad of options. This was back in the old days of mass media. And so children would watch television, the majority, I would guess, on Saturday mornings from, we'll say, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And in between those would be commercials for toys, commercials for breakfast cereal, commercials for snacks and clothing, things that children would ask their parents to buy. Now, at this time, it was a competitive business, too. So there were, this is just my, as an outsider, I wasn't on the boards. I didn't run the companies. I was work for hire. But I did get a little bit on the back end because they were using my visage and part of my story, part of my biography. You know, I am a chocolate count. I am a count that does rely on consumption of chocolate. But I also enjoy it. So you'd see commercials like myself, Frank and Barry and Boo Bear. Frank and Barry and Boo Berry were my sidekicks. They also my friends, my companions, my coworkers. They also had their own cereals. I don't know if Claude will be interviewing them or not. So that was a little bit about my story. Now the competition within breakfast cereals was strong. You know, there was many others, and people would call them sugared, fortified breakfast cereals or whatever, frosted and flavored, and let's just put aside any judgments about those things and just talk about that it was a competitive business, and you wanted the children consuming your cereal if you were the cereal maker. And one of the ways you did that is not only with brilliant partnerships with people like myself, Frank and Barry, Boo Berry, and some other affiliated characters, but also including not just people talk about branding nowadays. They don't know what it was like in the glory days of branding and visual marketing. You needed boxes. You needed colors. You needed things for kids to look at because they didn't have a tablet or whatever, a device. So each box needed to tell a story, and the story being told was of a happy child. This is just the truth, too, that the child was getting joy from a cereal. And you might have a reaction to that, but maybe you did have a reaction of joy because each cereal normally had activities on it and probably a premium toy within it or not so premium, a prize inside, much like a Cracker Jack before us, to justify not only the price point of the cereal, but to put it to make it stand out and to make keep you coming back. These may seem, you know, just strange to you in your modern age, but it really isn't, and wasn't asking for much. A cheap toy really went a long way. I mean, you might sit in judgment, but when you were the one unpacking it or anticipating unpacking it or looking at it and wishing for it, and Claude, that was something I really took pride in, is at least being involved in the decision-making and trying to influence the toys and the box design. Okay, Count, so one thing about your cereal. So it was a bit like you had chocolate marshmallows shaped like you, or and then frosted cereal kind of like circles, like with a cross in the middle, is what I kind of remember. Well, Claude, we'll just take this story one step at a time. Okay, so Count, tell me about, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about a 12-ounce box. And I want you to tell me, like, what is one of the first toys that comes to your mind? Maybe with you on the cover, maybe also well-themed. Oh, well, you're talking about the door knocker. And you're right that was a good one. Holy cow. Was that one of the bright days, is when we had a door knocker. Now, it was plastic and for children's bedroom, but it was a chocolate-colored door knocker with my face on it. And it really felt like that got the mood for, this is for kids, and it seemed very much like you'd find in Transylvania where I probably lived in Chocolvania. I forget, this sometimes have passed. Okay, Count. Well, that is good. Now, another one I want to think of. There was a time where there was a lot of parachute toys, and it, basically what it was like a plastic bag with a string and then like an action, a plastic, not an action figure, but a figurine. And I remember a lot of those things, you know, they would work. Sometimes you'd have to throw them up and they wouldn't work. You'd have to drop them from a height. But I really did. So does that ring any bell? Oh, yeah. So we had the puff shoot, it was called. Oh, boy, was that a good time. Now, ours had some advancements that fit in right where you're talking about. One, we had a tube that you would shoot it out, like you'd blow that out. Two, it was we had a parachute frame. So there was a figure of myself standing proudly, my cape around my shoulders, my hand at my chest. And then there was, instead of having rope or string, we had plastic attachments to the parachutes. And they were rubbery, which gave us the chance to pack it on the tube and then launch it out of the tube without some of the difficulty of what you're saying. Now, you always wanted your parents or the adult figures in your life to help you as you went along. And we did have those. We did have those with other characters as well. Okay, Count. Now, do you ever know, have you ever thought, like, did you ever have any crossovers with other brands or other companies? Claude, you're thinking of maybe our Harlem Globetrotters t-shirt offer. Now, I don't know the years anymore that all runs together, but it was only $1.50 and one box bottom. To get, now this was during the cartoon version of the Harlem Globetrotters TV show. You know, they were very popular as both, you know, the basketball team appearing on television live action shows as well as animated shows. And yeah, you could just send in a box bottom and for only just $1.50, you could get your own t-shirt. Quite a deal, I think, at the time. Very exciting. Now, there was times, now, this is interesting, Count, because this is kind of like a throwback and a throw forward. You know, nowadays they have these things called bath bombs, where you put it in the bathtub and it fizzes and it puts, you know, puts some salt and some refreshment in the air. But you were at the cutting edge of that a long, long time ago. Could you tell us about that? Oh, yes, this was a time, it was very good, a good day. So we had a three-pack, it was bath time fun sets, so that you could take a bubble bath with, you know, myself or Boo Berry, Frank and Barry, or our Wolfie Poo friend. And it came with a soap figurine, so you had soap to clean yourself, and again, this was a little bit more of a cartoon version than the parachute version of me. Then you had a washcloth that said Count Chocula on it and a picture of my lovely face. And then a package of a scented bubble bath. All those together, for just $1.50 in a box top, you could get all of those things. Wow, that's amazing. And who knows what it would cost to get that on eBay, huh? Probably a bunch of dough. Yeah, probably would, Claude. And yeah, we made it for fun for everybody, getting clean and having fun. Now, you didn't just have fun in the bathtub. You had fun outside in the world. Was there something... do you ever remember one for your bike? Oh, yes, Claude, I do. It was a spinner, and it was a bit like a, what are those things called, a pinwheel for your bike. Your buddy Count Chocula, again, this was back when Wolfie Poo, we had Blueberry and Frankenberry. and it would make riding your bike even more fun. This one came right in the box, just like the parachute set, right inside. You know, you did probably had to do some digging around, and I know people like Scooter. As soon as if there was ever a toy in a box of cereal, the Scooter could find it first before his siblings. But this was something you clipped onto your handlebar of your bicycle, and it would it looked like a bit like I was in an airplane, flying an old-fashioned airplane, and smiling and really enjoying it. It was durable, made of plastic, and again, you could get all four if you could get to the store or get your parents to go to the store and buy all those boxes of cereal. Okay, so count. By the way, we're using a cereal price guide over on Blogspot for a lot of these trips down memory road. What about anything that like offered a chance for disguise? Oh boy, did we have that! Yeah, that was a good one. It was an iron-on, so you had an iron-on shirt that you could iron on to a T-shirt. And for a while, these were big things. You could, you could put it on your shirt, and it would make you look a bit like the character, your favorite character. So mine had me dancing, kind of, and it said Count Chocula. And then it came with ears. You know, I have ears that look a bit like, some people would say they look a bit like, what is that, a Vulcan or an elf. And then something to put on your eyebrows, so you have eyebrows like mine, and a set of teeth for tasting all that good chocolate. Oh, wow. So that is exciting. That is exciting. And your friends, you could also get ones like your friends as well. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, those were the good days. Oh boy, were those glory days. Now I believe that now we're working our way through the 70s right now. So even a lot of listeners weren't even around then, and there was even a secret agent pen at one point. That must have been cool. Yeah, you know, I didn't want that one because I felt like it wasn't branded to me and the team. So that was one I was not a fan of. Okay, so then we'll move on. And the next one, staying in the 70s, was called a surprise. And this one even had a, this one has a bit of a cartoon. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with all of you. Called the Golden Valley. Oh, yes, they had, this was when we had random inside of those boxes were three possible surprises. So a toothbrush holder, Count Chocula themed, which would cover the bottom half of your toothbrush, but hold it up upright, about 3 inches high with myself on there. A whiz ring, kind of Count Chocula themed in some sense, a bit like Frisbee, or a mini figurine of myself. I was kind of like in the middle of a stride. Those were pretty good toys. I liked the fact that they offered the children randomness and the option, randomness and the option to get that. What about, there was also times where there was, like, cutout things. That one went a little far. It was just a cutout M-A-S-K of me, and it said, Fool Your Friends, which I guess it was a cartoon version, so it did, and it was a face size that you were supposed to cut out and kind of put a string on and, you know, just cut out the eyes so you could see it. It was a great disguise, but I don't know if it would fool anybody, actually. And then as the 70s count came on, you started to do some crossovers with the Star Wars films, correct? Oh, yeah, we did. So we had, first it was Star Wars stick-ons, which were, you know, kind of like a sticker, but you could also do a mail-in. So there's scenes from the movie Star Wars, one of four. So again, you'd want to try to get all four. There was an X-Wing versus Vader. There was the team on, it was just different cool things. And these came in a variety of cereals, not just me and my friend's cereal. But you could also get refunds on Star Wars toys when you bought them from Kenner, who used to make those toys. You could keep your proof of purchase from your cereal and your proof of purchase from the toy, and you'd get a 50 cent or dollar refund. If you had an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter, you could get a dollar back. Wow, that is truly exciting. Now, and then the next year, you had, what did you have? Oh, we had cards, trading cards, one of six. I remember there was a C-3PO, or one was C-3PO and R2-D2. I think there was one just of R2-D2. A little close to the other ones, I believe. But yeah, that was a good one. And I think there was even an offer for a special card case on that one. But yeah, I don't exactly remember, but we were getting a little too heavy, in my opinion, towards the crossovers, but they wouldn't cease. Oh, but the next year you did you had a record out, not just one record, Claude, but three. You could get one of three records, there's three different records in the box. There was the Monsters Go Disco, Count Chocula Goes to Hollywood, and Monster Adventures in Outer Space. And they were fun records. And they were short, you know, they only had a few minutes of playing time. But in each box, and the records had, records, you may not call it, before there was tapes or CDs, they called them vinyl now. And yeah, you could play those on a record player, and yeah, they were pretty cool. And they were colored. They had beautiful cartoons or drawings of all of us, themed to the record. Very bright colors, very good branding. That was one of my favorites, to be honest with you, especially in this dearth of crossovers. Because in the next one, you could order you could get a Battlestar Galactica Adventure card, again, or there was also, you could mail in for a space station. Then not long after that was a Star Wars motion picture crossover, which again had collector close-ups, again, cards that you could win, or cards you could get. You could also order a Star Trek light beam, which was basically a flashlight, for just a dollar with proof of purchase. There was one of Spock, which I'm surprised they didn't do more crossovers with just Spock and I. And again, not long after that, it was, now this is talk about timely. We would love to get you in with the Marvel characters now. But this was, you could get a Marvel superhero sticker, huh? Yeah, I believe there was the Hulk, Spider-Man, Captain America, and Spider-Woman. Forest Friend Man and Forest Friend Woman, Scooter, because you got to change you're right. One of eight Marvel superhero stickers. And then there was also, you could, with proof of purchase, you could get Marvel Superhero Presto Magic X Dry Transfer Games. Yeah, that was basically like an iron-on, but onto paper. They had ones where it was vinyl stickers that you could play with. But these ones you would actually just... they're dry transfer pictures, so you'd rub it with your pencil like an iron-on, and it would be on the paper. a bit like stickers, but pretty fun. I know that, Scooter, I don't think he ever had any of those. I think maybe he's seen his classmates with those. So that was another crossover we did. What about this one? How do you feel about this? There was one time on the back of it where it said, which has more sugar, an apple or a bowl of Count Chocula? And it said an apple. You know, Claude, we all have times that our voice wasn't heard, and that was one for me. Yet I don't look back at that in a positive way. But moving on to the 80s, you had paper dolls, character cutouts, you called them, where you could cut it out and stand it up and play with it. I liked that because I always like it when I'm dancing with joy. Like, you know, on the covers of some of the Count Chocula cereals is my head. But on other ones, it's me dancing and pouring the milk in with joy. And I really, that's real joy. Now, this is something I really wish I could have had. And I remember going to kids' houses that had things like this. And now you could do this repurposing with a cardboard box. But what was it? The Scooter was a miss. On the back, you could order a mansion, which looked a bit like a castle where all of us lived together. Frankenberry, Count Chocula, Boo Berry. And it was our mansion. It was kind of like a hideout. Yeah, like a bit like a washing machine box. But painted. It also had things you could stick on there, like a window, a door, 4 feet tall, corrugated cardboard, easily assembled in about 5 minutes. It was $12.99 plus two UPC codes from the serial. And you sent it to Monster Mansion, box 1629, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Wow. What an age that some people got to live in, that you could just order. I mean, I guess $12.95 is not exactly cheap back then either, but pretty cool. It was pretty cool, and I never got my own sample to play with, but I would have loved to. Okay, next up, now this is when, this is the 80s. And they had, there was Walkmans, which were portable tape players and radios. But then there was even a portable handheld TV, which now seems it's pretty cool. And Sony made those, and you had a giveaway, a game card inside, where 1,000 people did win Sony Watchmans. Yeah, that was a time, Scooter, that the dream was starting to come true that wouldn't be realized till now, where people were, this is when we went into these more games. It was a big sweepstakes era, and that was the one. Then the next, I remember this well, Claude, we had the Money Machine game, where that was more, this was trying to pitch parents, you know, you could win up to $100,000 instantly. It used game cards. They said, well, what if we get rid of the toys and see how that does? But then it wasn't long before we went. The next feature I remember was a Super Bubble bubble gum, 4 pieces inside a cereal. And they even had a picture of myself blowing a bubble, which would be tough with my teeth. I have rabbit-like teeth. They're actually straw teeth that I use to drink my chocolate milk. We also we had Frankenberry and Boo Berry holding the Super Bubble Gum. It was another crossover. Then we tried bigger marshmallows. Now, the marshmallows, as you indicated, were shaped like my head. So we tried to put in these bigger marshmallows. It just, you know, because we had a lot of marshmallow competition back then. Another thing that was big in the 80s were stamps. So we had stamps of ourselves. Those were cool. Those were, you needed 3 proofs of purchase. Now, this was a mail-in one, which sometimes people got frustrated with because they thought the stamps would be inside. And I wonder, you know, the children that did end up following through on these mailing ins and had the wherewithal to do that, they're probably, maybe they were running things the past 20 years. I don't know, Count, because I only know Scooter was not mailing anything in. He was just complaining, probably. But those, so there was a three-stamp set of Booberry, you, and Frankenberry, huh? Yeah, very cool. Self-inking stamps, by the way, which they acted like they invented those, but they were around for a while. Then we had another thing with the Super Bubble Bubble Gum, which was America's first twist-wrapped gum, by the way. Along with another pitch for the castle we had. Then we went back. I don't know if they discovered more because of the this one was another. It was $350 at this point with two UPC codes, but it was another bath kit. But you got three soap figures for $350. Frankenberry, Count myself, and Booberry, and then three sponges of all of us. And talk about fun! I mean, how do you get more fun than that, especially with the soap figurines that were really, really well done? You know, this was before 3D printing, and if you were to look at those designs, you'd say that the soap was really crafted. I guess this was a glory time for shaped soap. Then we did a promotion for Wacky Wafers that I remember. Wacky Wafers were like a sweet tart type candy, fruit flavored, very well flavored, a Wonka product, Willy Wonka product. And one came, a pack of, I don't know if it was three or four came in inside. Oh, six of them actually. Oh, I was wrong. So two packs of three. And then also came with a coupon for free. You could, so that was a really good deal. You could bring the coupon into the store and get a 2.06-ounce tube, much like your Spree's come of Wacky Wafers. And I don't know if they're still available today. Then, this was the late 80s, I think, when there was a great personalization of shoes. And these were shoe taggers, which you could personalize with just three UPC symbols free, just with those. And you could get your name embossed on these, or like, and you could put them on your shoes so people would know, one for each foot, two personalized name tags. Didn't really have to do with us, but it was popular then. Then we, now this was a time I wish they had branded us, because this was when Matchbox cars and other cars, in our case, Stomper 4x4s, and you could get a free, there was a free sticker inside the box, and then you could order your own 4x4 with two UPC symbols, but they weren't branded myself, so I wasn't too happy about that. You know, I prefer myself to be in there. Then we had a special one with extra Booberry, but not Booberry. GH, like we had changed some of the cereal shape from the circle to GHOST, like Booberry Caspers, I guess you'd say. So the marshmallows were me. I liked this cover of the box because I was standing over it, kind of doing it. But new cereal pieces, you could also, again, there was a chance to order your stamps, and you could get an extra GHO, like a Casper stamp. So then it was a chance to get a free stamp of the Casper, and then if for $1.50 extra, you could order the other three of us as stamps. So that was good. Then again, another one that was only kind of themed, it was Wacky Wax. And this was kind of like where you could have a mustache or lips, blue lips or a mustache, or a bit like my lips and teeth, but not a Count Chocula version. They said it was chewing gum, but it was more wax, flavored wax. And but they didn't do any branding with us. And again, this is when they stopped listening to me. Again, we went back. I don't know if it was a new company, Super Bubble. Was that the original company? Yeah, but they had three pieces of Super Bubble. Super Bubble had tried to expand to more flavors from the original just uniflavor. So in there, they had cherry, grape, fruit, apple, and tropical punch, and not just bubblegum flavored. Then we had another chance with the classic count. They had disguise stickers you could order that you could put on yourself to peel off, but they were actual stickers. You could also order a classic kind of universal, the characters from Universal that are similar to us. Another one that was just disappointing me was, so we added, it was for the Halloween season, but it was just a straight 100% Starburst promotion on all boxes, not themed to us. It was Tropical Starburst, which came inside, and then there was a coupon in back. Again, another time I wasn't happy. Then there, we did a cross promo with Universal Studios Hollywood. This came with a mystery drawing disc, which was fun. And then an ad for Universal Studios. But we were included, at least in the advertising, like looking on like we wanted to go. This is for some reason Booberry was excluded from this. And we had another friend, Mum, who was involved. But this is when Universal Studios Hollywood was expanding, I think, and trying to get more people to visit. Then, let's see what else we had. Then we had a reinvention. I got to think, Claude, what year was this? Let me see your research here. 1988 account. Yeah, so 1988, they really tried to reboot me and redraw me, and they put a bedroom sign that said, "Don't look in my bedroom," which was a sign to put on the door. And it had also had it also had the ability to put my eyes from the front in like a little bit of a 3D way, which was fun. Yeah, but that was like when they tried to draw me a little bit differently. It wasn't long. They went back to classic. And they had for, now this was not an expense, they had a coloring book offer with a sweatshirt, but it was like, I think it was like around $15. And there was a coloring book and a sweatshirt, but not themed towards, just towards us, other things we worked with. In 89, we did a BAT marshmallows, and then we had a notebook cover, which was cool. It was of us running around a house, and that was a fun one. It was, you could use motions. That was $3.25. You could order that, and it was called the Spooky Trail notebook cover. Again, a good time. Good time was had by all. Then we started to lose the regular appearance of toys. This one was an activity, Connect the Dots. It was Frank and Barry and I in the forest, and we had found a Sasquatch. So if you connected the dots on the back of the box, it was a Sasquatch. Again, this was a more modern drawing of me. Maybe at that time, you know, as we got rid of my popularity, because I was standing over the marshmallows with my new look face, with my arms spread. But we still had some time. We had a fun one, which was a spooky shape maker. I think that was the late 80s, early 90s, which is like where it's like, what do you call that? Where you, you put a piece of paper over it and you run a crayon across it, and then it embosses it on there. And those were fun. There was me. There was There was one of my face. There was one of a BAT. There was one of a CAT. And one of those was inside the box of cereal, which was nice. Then we had another one without a prize inside, which was a memory challenge activity. Then this one, instead of a prize, we had a glow. At least it was cool. It was a glow-in-the-dark surprise, which was me glowing in the dark on the back of the box. So that was a classic. Then we tried a BLOB marshmallow along with the BAT. And then they kind of did, there was supposed to be, I guess, introducing other sidekicks for me, these BLOBs. So they had a little maze on the back of one of the boxes. So that was in the 90s. Then we had Bolt marshmallows for a brief time, which were interesting. Again, trying to redo the marshmallows. You could order Betty Crocker catalog and another maze, like, built into my tower. Then a crossover that at least they branded the back, glow-in-the-dark Band-Aids. I think you got two of those inside. And they, you know, they had cool designs. They glowed in the dark. You know, make kids happy. And at least I was on there with the kids saying, wow, which, you know, I appreciate. I appreciate getting in the boxes. That's one of the things I love. You know, Count, we're getting down to the time here. Well, we don't have that many more boxes to go. Please, this is all I have, Claude. Okay, so where do we leave off was with this? Yeah, then we had another one looking for hidden pictures. That one I didn't even appear in the center of the box. They had a BAT that you could cut out with wacky eyes, and I was just on the top of the box. So that was, you know, obviously I wasn't happy about that. So then they kept the kind of lightning bolt promotion going. Then we had one where, again, they tried to redo me again. They had, like, a lot of, you know, puzzles on the back, geared up for chocolate. Because they had, there was magical marshmallows in that one that would appear. And so that was, I don't know, like, as soon as you added milk. Then we went into full reboot mode. You know, I changed my box to purple. They started putting me in the background. There was a gummy forest friend there and a fake mirror on the back for radical reflections. And that was the 90s. I went neon. They changed me around. They gave me a dog with sunglasses. And, you know, and then I started getting smaller and smaller. The next box in 94, the dog was even bigger than me. And they did make a comeback with a CD that was in the box. That was cool. I think that was in the mid-90s. With music and sounds. So, you know, this was when the box was fully purple. In 97, you could order your own watch, which I think was a cool thing. But again, you're having to order it, along with a bunch of other things you could buy. Watch was $10.50. It did glow in the dark. There was a T-shirt that said Count on it. So they're trying to brand me a little bit more. We had, like, fun games on that one. But again, I was kind of checked out at this point. They had moved away from everything, you know, that was close to me. Then we did a movie crossover with the movie Casper, with Casper-shaped marshmallows. That was when it came out on video. You could also get a Casper lunchbox for $8.99. Not exactly high points in my career. Then Lost World Dino Spoon, which, again, I like the movie, but I don't know what it had to do with me. We just was full crossover era. We did another one. I mean, you can see at this point I was a bit disillusioned. We did a crossover with Hershey's. Now we were really made with Hershey's cocoa. Then a crossover with Casper and the direct-to-video movie with Wendy. And more games, a couple of crossovers with that, a crossover with Goosebumps, 2000, crossover with Dairy Queen, you know, I mean, you already know what happened, and then a crossover with Inspector Gadget, a crossover with, now this was cool, it was a mini projector flashlight with a Bug's Life, so we're even into the Pixar era. We did a crossover with Shaggy-shaped marshmallows along with Scooby-Doo, the new Scooby-Doo cartoon. And, you know, that's kind of it almost. 99. I can't even remember what it was. A couple more crossovers with Scooby-Doo. And, you know, I guess, yeah, I didn't... At this point, I said, who am I? You know, who was, you know, they had bobbleheads. They tried to go, you know, then that's when they, I think for a while, I was shut down. But, you know, if you look, there's like, I don't know. It's not easy. It's what I guess I'm saying. It's never been easy. But as you see, it was a lot of joy in there, a lot of things to talk about. Well, it's good we had you on. I thought, you know, this would be a boost for my career account, but it sounds like it was more a boost for putting toys back in cereal. If anything we could agree on, it could be that. Yeah, or that just talking about this is kind of sleepy. So I appreciate it. Appreciate you, Claudine. Good night. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show recently over on Apple Podcasts. Mad Tav says, best boyfriend, wake up around 3, try to fall back asleep. Scooter helps me make that time, which could be dreadful, actually enjoyable for me. Sometimes I fall asleep listening, and sometimes I stay awake, but I enjoy resting with my eyes closed and listening to stories. Thank you for keeping me company in the deep, dark night. Am Howie... Or no, sorry, Am How 27. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you Howie. Says lifesaver on long overnight flights. Thanks for making sleeping on planes a bit easier. Always download some episodes for long plane rides. Put on some headphones and sleep a bit better. Thanks for accompanying through the restless jet lag as well. I'm very happy with this podcast. Keep sleeping on. Jan Bell from Australia says, a lifesaver when you can't shut off your brain. I don't know how he does this, but Scoots never fails to get me asleep, and no matter what thoughts are racing, keep up the good work. Scott YJ from Australia says, just found your show recently. I work in a ship, and it's noisy and moves about, which, holy cow, and it can be hard to sleep. Your show helps a great deal. It's from Scott. Thanks, Scotty. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you Scotty either, but Evie145 from the UK says, sleep with me. It's amazing. It puts me and my family to sleep every night. Perfect length. Love the song. I sing along. I love it. As soon as my head hits the pillow, I put on Sleep With Me and I shut down. John L. from Canada says, their friend cried when they listen together. They laugh at the stories. And they felt really welcomed with the non-binary greeting. So help you put you to sleep and have you feel welcome. Lauren M. says, love Scoots, can't sleep without it. Boring. I end up zoning out. Pop it in. Laughing. Don't make it past 25 minutes. Best sleep podcast ever. In the ATL. Works for me. I don't go to sleep without this podcast. The Christy Love says, thank you, Scooter. Melatonin, but I tried this instead. At the time, I wrote a blog post recommending this around 2016, 2017. I was working out hours, sleeping in the daytime. Until I found Scooter. It might sound silly at first, but then it becomes part of your habit. Because of you, I found it easier to sleep without the podcast. However, I still use it a few times a week because Borbay is for life. your humor comes across well. All the random bits draw me to sleep. I'm glad your podcast has grown. You deserve all the support imaginable. Thank you. Thanks, Christy. And Queen Delene says, I love you. I love your storytelling. Great way to start chilling in the evening. Help you to conk out. Refrain from not laughing so to wake my husband. I listen to quite a bit of podcasts, but yours are the best. Don't go anywhere. So thank you so much for all your kind words. Thanks everybody who supports the show, reviewing the podcast, spreading the word. The show continues as a free podcast because people that support the sponsors or support the podcast. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com, including I miss listening. I only listened to the Mountain Goats. Check out season one and season two, collaboration between Joseph from Welcome to Night Vale and Alice Isn't on the Big Farm, and John, the lead singer of the Mountain Goats. It's about, I guess, it's about music, it's about life, it's about creation, it's about being a fan. And really a lot about the creative process. So check it out. I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, Night Vale Presents, or wherever you consume your podcasts. Take a deep dive. We're also a proud member of Night Vale Presents. Also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. There's plenty of other episodes to go if you need them. Good night. All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you still listen on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm gonna start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're love sleeping me, you're looking for something a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville. Oh, Contact. TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. The All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, PI, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they have, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, cause you can listen to that in the ad supported version. Right. But so let's see, episode 12:45 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 12:43. 12:42, Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 12:40, Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. If you're, this is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, we did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? I guess in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great. If you think about supporting the show, it's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.